Welcome to a special ConV2X Health Data Marketplace podcast. Esteemed speakers are Francisco Corbera, Senior VP, Engineering and Research at Accrete.ai, Sharam Ibadolahi, Founder at Nav.ai, and Olivier Elemento, Professor at Weill Cornell Medicine, Director of the Englander Institute for Precision Medicine, and Associate Director of the Institute for Computational Medicine. Let's get right into it and learn where the market's heading.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Francisco Corbera. I am with Accrete.ai, where I lead research and engineering. And today I'm joined by Sharam Ibadolahi from Nav.ai and by Olivier Elemento from Weill Cornell Medicine to try to get a new perspective on the topic of health data marketplaces. As you all know, this is not a new topic. There's been a lot talked about this topic of health data marketplaces. However, this is not happening, right? We haven't seen a successful data marketplace in spite of multiple tries in the last few years. And this is regardless of the well-accepted, well-understood benefits that can bring to the healthcare ecosystem. And that makes one wonder why this is, and even more importantly, what can we do about it, right? Especially these days when the AI is king, data is the critical resource all across industries, particularly healthcare. And at the same time, we're seeing patients and individuals wanting more and more to get control of their own data. And these are not, I mean, this would be seemingly two inconsistent trends. However, what we believe is that a construct like a marketplace, a health data marketplace, can bring those two threads together and align incentives of all the participants in the ecosystem. So our topic today is, what can we do to fix the situation? What are the challenges? What are the potential opportunities? And what's the path forward to make healthcare marketplaces a reality? Now, let me start with a set of introductions. I'm going to ask Sharam, you to go first. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what's your background and how you've been working on this topic of health data marketplaces?
Sure. Thank you, Paco. Great to be here. Thanks to also Olivier for joining us. My name is Sharam Ibadolahi. I have been operating in at the cross-section of healthcare technology and business for the past 20 plus years in technology companies, in pharma companies, and now I do my own consulting and advisory services in AI for enterprise. This topic is actually very near and dear to my heart. Back in 2017, while I was at IBM, with yourself, Paco, we started looking into how to apply blockchain to healthcare and develop the platform and applications for healthcare data exchange under permissions, and did pilots with FDA and CDC. And afterwards, we established what we called the Health Utility Network, which was actually announced at the HIMSS 2018, I believe. And out of it came a company and some businesses. The purpose of Health Utility Network was to enable exchange of permissioned health data among health insurance companies. But the original idea before setting that up was actually how we can enable people, patients, consumers, citizens, to allow for the use of their data. And these are not a black and white type of permissions, but very granular fields of data for what type of application, for what duration, and so on. And from that moment on, this topic of how to enable fluidity in healthcare data has stuck with me. It's a passion and still continues. And I unfortunately don't see a solution to it. And that's why we're having this conversation.
All right. Thank you, Sharam. Olivier, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I'm Olivier Elemento. I'm a professor at Weill Cornell Medicine, the Medical School of Cornell University in Manhattan. As a scientist who works in the field of precision medicine, what we do is to try to use data and AI to make medicine more personalized. And I've been frustrated in the field of healthcare because we don't have enough access to data to be able to train AI models that would be able to perform and help patients and provide assistance to physicians, for example, in terms of medical choices. And I think this frustration, I think, is connected to the topic because I know that there is a tremendous amount of data that's sitting in medical centers for patients, whether it's health medical record data or genomics or imaging data. And it's been extremely hard to get access to that data. Suddenly, hard to share data across medical centers. And to me, I think really the solution to this is eventually to have patients own their data and decide on what to do with the data and potentially share the data for research and drug discovery and empower them to do so. And I think once we get to that point, I think we'll be able to consolidate much larger data sets than we can now. And eventually be able to do much better research, achieve breakthrough discoveries, invent new drugs much more readily than what we can do now. So this is really a topic that's close to my heart and is really kind of about data access.
All right, great. Thank you very much, both of you. I think we have the right speakers for the right topic. Let's start maybe with some basics, right? So what is really a health data marketplace? What does it take to make it happen, right? What are the key characteristics it needs to have, and who should care about it, right? Sharm, you want to take this one, and Olivia, feel free to jump in as needed.
Sure. So marketplace in economic thinking is very well defined. Actually, there have been Nobel Prizes on the topic. So Alvin Roth got actually a Nobel Prize for defining how certain type of markets should operate. In essence, a marketplace is basically an arrangement, an institution that allows for exchange of goods, services, or resources between a number of buyers and sellers on either side of this market. And it does several things. It allows for discovery of prices. It reduces the cost of making transactions. And it also deals or addresses the issue of information asymmetry. It brings efficiency to the exchange of whatever is being exchanged between these different parties. Now, when we talk about health data marketplace, is a derivative of that generic marketplace definition. And it's in an organization or a setup in which data could be fluidly exchanged between the different parties, but under a trusted environment. And that is a very important thing. How to establish trust. Technology has a piece, regulation has a piece, market and the way economic work also has a piece. But a and do it in a transparent way and is also fair compensation and full information about what is being transacted. And of course, if you look at the underpinnings of this, and what could be achieved by having such a health data marketplace is the issue of topic of agency, that is, whomever is the owner of data. I don't want to get into the legal definition of ownership here, because if you have legal minds on in your audience, then it's a big debate, and some of it is not resolved. But let's say institutions or people, they can actually determine where and for what purpose their data can get used for. It also allows liquidity, meaning data could be readily accessible, of course, under certain conditions and permissions and so on. It's a fair value exchange that people or organizations get compensated. So all the benefits don't accrue to the intermediaries behind the scene. There is accountability, there is transparency, and very important topic is trust in making this system function. And we can go into how the different players and stakeholders around this marketplace can benefit from it and what can happen, but I pass the baton to Olivier to see if he wants to add anything.
Yes, thank you. Well, I think we need a marketplace of some sort, because I think we need to achieve better data fluidity, as Shah mentioned. Obviously, there's a lot of data that's been created in the past few decades now, but it's very hard to do lots of things. For example, to assign value to data, right? Very difficult to do so. It's in some cases it's just hard to access data because it's not available, it's not in a format or standard that would make it easily accessible. So I think a marketplace to address a lot of these issues that eventually will make data much more accessible to more parties and more individuals. And I think that's why it's so critical. But I think the issue of value, especially when it comes to healthcare data, I think is important because I think there's a lot of that data that's, again, not accessible. I think people don't realize that the data potentially has a lot of value. But if there was a mechanism to discover the value of data, through a market system, I think people would realize that their data is very valuable potentially, and therefore would maybe be empowered to use the data themselves to own it or to feel like they own it and to share it with whether is aligned with our goals, whether it's financial goals or goals of creating new medicines for the greater good. So I think this is a mechanism that really needs to happen in healthcare data as soon as possible.
So to that point, Olivier, maybe we can be try to get a bit specific here. What types of data are we talking about? What's the utility for different participants in the ecosystem? And going back to your point, how will we go about to assign value to data so we can unlock all this incentive chain?
Well, as you know, healthcare data consists of many potential things, right? So there's data that's sitting in hospitals, for example. When you go to the hospital, that's data that's created, maybe imaging data if you get a CT scan, or it's health records or medications, prescriptions, information or diagnosis, or it's even genomics data. For example, if you do cancer sequencing, there's DNA from your tumor that's stored in your medical record somewhere. That's potentially a lot of data. Some data types are more valuable than others. I think that's kind of the overall view. For example, cancer-related data is potentially more valuable than other data types. There's also data that's not in a medical record. For example, data from Fitbits or digital sensors. That's data on your phone, right? That potentially is collected, and that is also not trivial to get access to. So we're talking about very large number of different data types located in different places. But I think what's common about them, especially from the patient standpoint, is that they're not easy to get access to. And I think that a marketplace I think is a mechanism that eventually will help address this issue of data access. And to your point about value, I think the value is unclear at this stage because we don't have a marketplace. But the one thing that we know is that there are companies that are using our data generally without us knowing about it. And we know that many of these companies are doing quite well financially. So quite clearly, our data and your data has value. It's just right now the value is locked, is captured by some individuals or some entities. And it's not broadly accessible if you want. And I think that's again what the marketplace done in the right way could potentially address.
Yeah. So I guess we can say that we know data has value. It does have a price because we don't have a marketplace, right? Now, to get a
Exactly.
marketplace, we need the right all the key participants to have the right incentives to move forward, right? So maybe Sharon, can you comment on that topic? What are the incentives at play here? And is there sort of a prisoner's dilemma here that prevents and makes it difficult for the key players in the ecosystem to jump into this idea?
Sure, I'll be happy to do so. But before that, if you allow me, let me actually also
Sure.
comment on the value of data. So when you and I in 2017 started the Health Utility Network, everyone said data is an asset. Data is an asset. Okay, so that is great. If it's an asset, put a dollar figure on it. If you go into the financial statements of companies, when companies go through M&A, all that data actually goes into the intangibles. So it's not clearly defined as a single item on the balance sheet. But the world has changed now. Now, actually, thanks to a number of finance thinkers and economic thinkers, there are methodologies for evaluation of data today. And there are different mechanisms for doing it. I'm not the expert, but there are economists out there who actually have published about this. There are books about this. One, if your audience is interested, is called Data Economy by Laura Veldkamp, which recently, last year, came out. In a very basic form, there are two ways to go about assigning value. One is what's the cost of producing that data? So if I go to the hospital, get an MRI, if I do it, gene sequencing, what is the cost of doing that, and so on. And the other one is what other people are willing to pay. If I'm a pharma company, how much am I willing to pay to get a person recruited into my clinical trials in certain cancer or whatnot? I mean, these are well-established numbers. And as a matter of fact, the company Ernst & Young did a study, and this is available on the web if you search for it, for NHS in England, that somewhere between a few hundred to a few thousand dollars, depending on the breadth and depth of the data, as genomics, as imaging, as other types of things, there is actually value that could be assigned to that data. So there are ways to assign dollar value to the data. And of course, if you have a marketplace, then also that will regulate that evaluation of the data. But you asked the question about so who are the different players, and then what's in it for them, and why is this not happening? So we can actually rattle down through the list of these different organizations. So you have the healthcare providers, hospitals and care centers and so on. They currently use the data as a proprietary asset for competitive advantage. Of course, if they share data, that's actually good for patients and their outcomes. However, that's not happening. It's a funny story. Last year or 2 years ago in France, as you know, they have the health data space, European health data space, and France is one of the pioneers of it. I was talking to a hospital association in Paris, and they were not sharing the hospital data in Paris area with the government health data space. Even in that society, it's actually a very funny setup. So there is that hoarding that is happening. The pharma companies, of course, when it comes to the molecules, they consider that as crown jewels, and they don't share it. But even the clinical trials and the actual patient data that is produced from that is very limited sharing of that today. However, if that sharing happens, you can imagine how faster the process of finding new cures for different maladies can actually happen. You're probably familiar with the CEO Roundtable for Cancer. The aim of it is actually to gather data around cancer among all these pharma companies in order to expedite research in cancer. But even there, the limited, basically, control arms of certain trials get shared among these companies and with these institutions. So very limited. Technology companies, and we don't need to go and blame any electronic health record company, but you know how they behave with respect to locking up all the data. Of course, there are now government rules and regulations to push for release of data, but still, it's very hard. Anyone who has interacted with those systems can actually talk about that. Patients want to preserve their privacy restrict the data. However, they could also benefit from the outcomes of the use of their data in some form of a medicine or diagnostics or whatnot, but also they could monetarily benefit from that. And there are examples of that as well. And payers, healthcare insurance companies, they have proprietary data on how to assess risk of various patients and people, But for certain applications, like physician credentialing and other sorts of things, they might actually need to share that data. So there is benefit in sharing if you look at them at each of these constituents. The why it's not happening is misalignment of incentives. And this health data marketplace that we are talking about, that the primary benefit of it is that alignment of incentives among these people.
So, to that point, maybe Olivier, can you comment on what's the potential impact of the regulatory frameworks that we've seen, say, in the US, in Europe, and whether they we think they can help, they can hinder the development of these marketplaces?
Well, as you know, the EU is pretty active when it comes to attempting to regulate personal healthcare data. There was recently something called the EU Health Data Act, which basically created a European framework for people to easily access and share their health data, and actually also allow researchers and scientists to reuse and anonymize healthcare data for science and public health. So that's codified as an EU regulation now. That's it's just been put in place, and it's going to continue to be put in place over the next few years. But I think the EU is showing the way when it comes to regulation, and is really pointing towards a direction where there is more and more ownership of data from the patient. The Trump administration also, and through CMS, recently also announced that they want patients to better own their data and partner with tech companies to be able to create a framework for patient data ownership and control. I think part of the issue there is that there's an issue of trust, is that the extent to which people trust these tech companies to hold their data and do what's right about the data with them involved and in control, I think is limited. And so I think that's part of the limitations. But in addition to this, there are also states that are now coming into play and adding layers of regulations regarding data ownership and what can or cannot be done with the data, including California, for example. So I think there's a definitely a regulatory wind, if you want, towards better control of data from patients. And I realize we're talking about two different things here, right? One is the marketplace, right, which doesn't necessarily imply patient owning the data, but is, I think, in my view, something that's also critical, which is moving towards patients owning data. I think these two movements, if you want, have to go side by side. I think, to me, solving the complexity about the different let's say components or sort of partners when it comes to healthcare, like where the data is located and so on, can be simplified by putting the patient at the center more and say, look, healthcare data belongs to the patients. The patients should have control over who accesses the data and why and for what purpose. And I think we really need to move in that direction. Whether this would be for regulation or through a marketplace of some sort, I think it's still somehow needs to be determined. One thing that I know for sure is that right now, as a patient, for example, I have a chronic asthma. I would love to be able to share some of my data, for example, to find cures for chronic asthma. There's no such thing as a cure right now. But there's really no way to do this, right? There's no framework right now where I can, securely, safely, privately make my data available to scientists, for example, so that they can use it for attempting to come up with a cure for chronic asthma. So I think, this is there's a multifaceted problem with, I think, a favorable regulatory wind, but still requires a lot of thinking in terms of infrastructure and framework to be able to address.
So you know what they say, that America invents and Europe regulates.
Right.
Do we think that this time maybe the other way around? Seems, thinking that the right regulatory framework, patient empowering, is happening faster in Europe.
It's definitely happening faster in Europe, but I think if you kind of look around, I think there's more and more awareness. And it's not just about healthcare data, right? I think there's a good sense now that people generate a lot of data, that some companies, for example, I'm not going to name any of them, are making a lot of money out of the data that is being generated. And at the end of the day, not much of that value goes back to the people themselves who produce the data in the first place. And
Right.
so I think that's something that probably at some point is going to change. But I think the issue right now is that people don't have a good sense of the value of data. And so they think that they can that I'm giving away the data in exchange for a minimal reward or minimal service is a good deal. And I think it's just a bad deal. And I think that's something that needs to change. And it will change through discovery of value of data.
Right. So, the incentives are there, the regulations are coming into place. This is not yet happening. So, do we have a way forward? What are your thoughts about the path to establishing these healthcare marketplaces? And what are the critical steps? Maybe to both of you, Sharm, you want to start?
Sure. Regulations are part of it. I don't think they are the complete solution to why this is not happening or should happen. If you look at, and we can discuss this, the different archetypes of businesses that are aiming to do this, that so far have been getting funding from VCs and capital markets and so on, why they haven't been able to establish this thing. I don't think it's a purely for-profit business because there the assumption is extraction of value for the shareholders only. And if you look at the root cause of why some of these businesses and companies haven't, they start with a huge fanfare and then they fizzle after 2, 3 years. And that is actually this issue comes to its head because it's the trust on one side and extraction of value on the other side, and these two things it's very hard to actually find the middle ground and do a responsible business, do the business in a responsible way, right? So I think, in my humble opinion, at the end of the day, this has to be done in a public-private partnership type of a scenario or a non-for-profit or a social good or social basically social good type of a company that has at its very core the issue of trust, that fiduciary responsibility to the, so to speak, owners of the data. But of course, it can also do innovation. It can generate revenue. It can create benefits for everyone monetarily and medically and societal benefit, but at the core, it has to establish that trust. And that's why purely for-profit business, I don't think it can happen. I would be more than happy to take you through the archetypes of the businesses without naming any company of why they haven't succeeded in this thing so far.
Olivier,
Yeah,
what's your
I
take on that?
completely agree. I think that the way forward is not just a technological way forward. I think the technologies exist to facilitate the creation of a data marketplace, health data marketplace, to facilitate storage of data or to access data, with the pipes often already exist. But I think what's missing is really trust, is a trusted environment, a trusted framework where people will feel confident that if they store the data in a particular place, or if they store, who gets access to the data or and how, I think their interests are going to be kept at heart and kept at the center. I think such an entity does not exist yet, and I think a nonprofit way of doing things makes a lot of sense to me. It has to be at the center of an ecosystem that will be potentially for profit. Will commercialize some aspect of the data, but I think the rules of the game, the rules of engagement, the permissions to store to access and store data. That needs to be held in a kind of neutral zone of some sort, where people will trust that whatever happens to the data is not going to be against their will, but it's really going to be aligned with their interest and their benefits. I do think that, again, I think thinking about the future, I think I would love to see a future where people can safely feel like they can share data with a pharma company, knowing that if a pharma company, for example, discovers a new drug based on the data, there will be something in return for them. But I think it needs to be done in the right way. I think right now there's no entity that achieves this while maintaining the trust of the patients. And I think we need to think about a new model, something that hasn't been tried, to move forward.
We can double click on this notion of a not-for-profit with fiduciary responsibility for make sure the data is used properly. How do you see that notion can be combined with the for-profit motive that has will drive a marketplace, and how you maintain the trust of individuals in this dual setup?
Yeah, from business point of view, there are different ways of setting of this mechanism up. But let me give you an example in a parallel world. By the way, this kind of an environment for a marketplace has been actually established in other domains, not medicine necessarily, of course, with some variations and so on. You may know a number of them, for example, in the world of music and music rights, right? So there is a company called BMI, and what they do is if someone is a artist, a singer, they have a piece of music and that gets broadcasted on some outlet, that artist cannot go after that broadcasting entity and claim for their check or how monitor how many times they have broadcasted that thing and so on and so forth. So comes in a comp or organization called BMI, which originally was a non-for-profit organization with the business of monitoring what gets played where, and at the end of the day, cutting a check to that artist to get their basically value out of whatever it is. They came to the realization that actually, in order to keep up with the technology and innovation in technology, they need to become a for-profit business. So now they evolved. They started from non-profit, went into for-profit. There are companies that actually do social good type of a company. So that have the social good of the society in their mind and in their credo, in order to do business. But there are also businesses that have been set up as a non-for-profit adjacent to a for-profit with some rules and regulations in between them to not lose the innovation that needs to happen to make this marketplace work, but also to not lose the trust that they need to establish with the constituents and the owners, right? So these two actually could be brought together. As Olivier very correctly said, this is not, I mean, this community we are talking to, we are sure that they have all the technological underpinnings for making this marketplace happen, from permission, from data exchange, and so on and so forth. It's a matter of legal, regulatory to some degree, and incentive design to make this actually function. So it actually could be done with the right setup, and there are actually people who are thinking about such setup as we speak.
And just to add a few things here. So just one thing, I think things have changed a lot when it comes to also data appetite, if you want. I don't know if it's better what to say that, but AI companies, like the ones that we know, have essentially pretty much leverage all of the available data right now, when it comes to creating AI models. I think there's going to be probably a second generation of companies, or maybe the same companies, are going to want access to more data. And I think that's what could potentially create an incentive to kind of change how we do data access and the courageous data marketplace because of the appetite, this extreme appetite for data that's going to fuel the next AI models. So I think that's also a kind of a new aspect of the problem that is also changing. And the other aspect of this, which is also changing, is the fact that populations are getting are aging. And so people have more diseases than chronic diseases. And there's a lot of unmet needs when it comes to creating medicines for these disease. And I think as a result, a lot of appetite for data that could potentially help create these medicines. So I think the appetite for data is also increasing dramatically. It was going to increase dramatically, and it's also going to give rise to maybe the need to rethink how we think about data and kind of try to make more to make it more accessible, potentially hopefully for this marketplace. But I mean, the key again is to make sure that patients are at the middle, patients are at the center, are in control. It's when I go to the hospital and data is generated for me, I pay for it from my insurance. I want to be able to control who gets access to that data. I think it's critical that people feel like that's something that they should own and control. And I think we need to create a movement also for that to happen.
Right. So I think I was saying, go ahead, Sharon.
Just if I may add, Olivia said something very important. This surge in AI and the need and the hunger for data, especially when it comes to if you talk to anyone about AI, healthcare becomes the primary target user and area for applying AI for obvious reasons. It's an important issue and there's a lot of data around it. Actually, a couple of days ago, I saw in the news one of the major LLM builders is now venturing into healthcare and going into healthcare data. I mean, that in that kind of a society, you want the participants in the society, citizens, to know, they should know better how their data is used or could be used for what, because this is not just getting sued by some newspaper for use of their articles. This is people's health data and well-being data.
So to that point, can you guys comment on what's the capital market, the perspective on all this? What kind of activity we're seeing from VC companies? And are we moving finally from a technology-only perspective? We think technology is the secret sauce to unlock this idea, to a better understanding that this is a business design, a trust issue around it.
Unfortunately, a lot of the startups in this area, as I said earlier, they mushroom and then they die out because either they are in a very limited category of data, certain disease area or certain type of data, and it doesn't answer the totality of the questions that people might have about health data of a population or of a person. If you look at the different types of companies, I mean, first the big ones, there are the everything data giants we all know. I mean, their business is based on people not knowing how the data is getting used. So there are like a lot of stories about that. Then there are federated establishment of data for clinical trials and so on, but federation doesn't necessarily address the issue of trust with the owners of the data, and especially the people, maybe institutions, but not the people. And then there are companies who are like the front or facade of healthcare providers to basically become their transaction arm for their health data, and there are a bunch of them out there. Again, there the individuals are nowhere to be found in that business model. So the issue. So when we said trust is essential in establishing such a market, it doesn't exist in any of those companies. Then when we come to the startups, there are ones that basically their business model is finding patients for clinical trials because these are expensive topics, 10, 15,000 per head to find such people. They would like the patient to put in the work and upload their data and give access, and they want and on the other end, they benefit from that, right? So you do the work and they get benefit from. There were companies, actually we can talk about this one because they shut down a year ago or so, Luna DNA. So they actually attempted an giving equity ownership to the participants. But because of the shareholder value that they had to generate, these two were a little bit at odds with each other. I don't think the business model was viable. And if you look at all of them, either there are the trust is nowhere to be found in their in how they operate or think about the business, or they are just attempting a very small sliver of data, which doesn't create that value and scale, especially if you're going to the topic of AI that Olivier was mentioning. You need that scale, you need that multimodal breadth and depth of data that could actually be brought to bear in these kind of models.
All right. Okay. Great. Great perspective on the business landscape out there. Since we're running out of time, maybe last final question, Olivier. What is the call to action here? What can the community do to accelerate this vision?
Well, I think my call to action, let's say, would be focused on patients. I really would love for patients to realize that their data, their healthcare data, has a lot of value, and I would love for them to feel like they should be empowered to control who gets access to it, and pressure, hospitals or pressure regulators or governments to move in that direction. I think that's certainly one thing. I would love to also see maybe a bit more action when we're talking about venture capitalism, and I think that's important. But if we're thinking about setting up a nonprofit, maybe at the center, maybe the funding that's required to create this nonprofit and nucleate, these efforts, will need to come from non-traditional VC sources and maybe venture philanthropy, for example, or even government. I'd love to see governments more involved in taking on this this issue of data and healthcare data, and how it can be used for the greater good. So these are the two calls to action that I can think of at this particular stage.
Sharam, anything to add to that?
Yeah, given the audience of the Comp2X community, I think let's make sure that there are no gaps and holes in the technologies required in order to do this trust-based marketplace for healthcare data exchange. This is from permissions, from establishing the consent, exchange of consents, access to data, exchange of data. So pipes for consent, pipes for data, and all of them working together. We look to this community to make sure that there are no gaps in technology. Let's actually address other challenges, which are not technology challenges. I wholeheartedly agree with what Olivia said. I think if investors, VCs, are looking into this area, they should look a little bit longer term, because if they help establish this health data marketplace, then there is greater value because of that existence of that marketplace for businesses that could be created on top of it for data, AI on top of that data, and derivatives of that data for various types of use. I call it the derivative market of data, that could actually, it can flourish in a new era of exchange, benefit, and creating value of that health data. But that requires a longer term perspective on the behalf of these investors rather than short term, because the short term, as we just very briefly talked about, hasn't been that fruitful for them.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, Sharam. Thank you, Olivier. It was an excellent discussion. And I want to also thank Conv2X for making this possible, hosting this discussion, and for all the good work it's doing in these topics. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your tuning in to BHTY's Conv2X podcast special. Send us your thoughts at info@partnersindigitalhealth.com and mark your calendars for Conv2X 2026, scheduled for September 24 and 25 in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks for listening.